0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on the international break. Scotland make it back-to-back 1-0 defeats, losing this time to Ivory Coast down at Everton's Hill Dickinson Stadium. There were some boos, but not a boo-worthy performance, according to the captain, Andy Robertson, and Steve Clark not giving too much more thought to his contract situation and instead focusing on the World Cup. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight is that Partick Thistle midweek takeover again. They've bounced into the schedule this week. Well, they're feeling good about themselves after the last set of results. It's Tony Watt, the club's new analyst, Croc, injured striker, and Alex Ray.
Yeah, looking forward to the show tonight, Gordon. Obviously, they'll be talking about the game last night, the performance. I think most people were encouraged after the weekend. I thought it was slightly better. A bit short at the top end for me. They just lacked that little bit of quality and didn't create too many problems on the night. And then obviously we're going to the weekend as well, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, again, it's a friendly break, so there's no competitive games. So I think Steve Clark will have got a few answers. I'd like to see a few more people that haven't had caps in the squad to test themselves, because now I think everybody that's been in the squads, I don't think there'll be many surprises, and I would have just liked a few more attacking options. There's a few players maybe in the Scottish leagues or maybe a bit further down that they could have maybe get involved in England or abroad, but no, I think he'll be overall happy, and I think Scotland, the World Cup squad, I know there's a 55-man squad, I think he'll have his World Cup squad 99% complete.
I'm not wanting to belittle the options we've got, but you've got a chance at that 55-man squad. Imagine trying to come up with 55.
I'm not sure I do.
You get that hamstring sorted or whatever it is in the next couple of months. That 55
is doable.
It'll
be fascinating to see who's actually in it.
My goodness.
Yeah, no,
what a number.
It's an incredible amount of players. And the interesting thing about it, Gordon, is that obviously there's going to be all these players. And again, they will be pretty much reserves. And I think they'll get cut at the tail end. However, you're going into the kind of dying week of the season. Someone gets injured and you think, right, okay, there's an opportunity for someone.
It's some incentive. 01419511025. Let's look back on it. What did you make of it? Two identical results, 1-0 defeats, different types of performance as well, probably a bit better last night. That would be the consensus, but still clearly got some issues there. Quite annoyingly, what are we on, day five of debating whether people, how much people booed and whether it's right to boo or not. That's all getting a bit repetitive, but by all means, jump on board. Let us know what you made of the performance last night overall. What worked? Steve Clark managed to take a look at a couple of things. Is there anyone you think forced their way in? Is there anyone that maybe has got a bit more work to do? Is there anyone on the outside that you think could still force their way in? So all the thoughts, all your conclusions that you've drawn from the international break, get them into us right now on 01419511025. And if you're already done with it, maybe you're already want to see the back of it, because that is it, full-time whistle last night. Maybe you want to talk domestic football. We are absolutely here for that as well. It is up to you. 01419511025. Good weekend for the Jags.
It was great. It was great, Gordon. We had a really good week. You know, I think the way the boys responded, we're obviously thin on the ground with injuries currently. Took away to Raith Rovers last Tuesday was really important for us. We hadn't won there in 15 years. And then obviously to bounce back after conceding an early goal on Friday. The boys are in a good place. And it was really interesting. I was listening to Alex Samuel talking post-match, and he just says he's absolutely loving coming into training every morning. It's just a really good environment, and I concur wholeheartedly. I really do enjoy going out to work with this group of players.
And it's funny, because we're now definitely at that stage of the season and that set of circumstances where people like me will trouble make turn up at your press conferences and say, I think the pressure's starting to go on St Johnston, and then you need to go politician and try and answer it without giving them something to pin
He's
up on the wall.
He's just already threw that in the news, so you have
what?
To answer that.
Do you know what though, I don't think the pressure is on them, because the pressure was on us at the start of the season, and probably them. Nobody expected any of the two A's to be up there. I think Ross County were the favourites. They were the ones that...
You see my face.
Your
there.
Assistant's no, not agreeing
you.
With
don't
you.
Expect it, St Johnstone at the start of the season?
No, everybody said Ross County were the ones that spent the money. St Johnstone should have maybe been third, second, maybe, right? But for me, Dunfermline obviously spent a lot of money. Rafe had a good squad. So I think the pressure now is on both of us. I think we've handled that. Obviously, I seen they were complaining about 2 games in 3 days coming in the running.
Yeah, we've just done it.
We've ticked that box. They're obviously in the pole position. They have 3 points ahead. But look, this group even surprises me. Just going in every day, it's brilliant. Like Al says, it's, we do get a laugh. We do. We probably spend a bit too much time with each other, even on days off. We go and do things. So, no, I think the feel-good factor's there. I think I was surprised last week at just how good the Rafe result was, and then coming back for 1 goal down against Ross County, which isn't easy when you're tired. You've just had a game 3 days before and then blown them away in 45 minutes. I thought it was amazing. So, no, I think the pressure's on both of us, but I hope we can thrive off that.
And I told you earlier in the week, I don't want to make light of a serious situation, but you're going to Air United on Saturday, yes?
Yes.
What about the ultimate Hugh Keevansism?
It's incredible. Have you heard this?
No.
You know, he's famed for his terrible match predictions. Like, anything he says will just go wrong, or yeah. That's the sort of influence he has. He paid £1,000 to Cash for Kids for a meet and greet with Scott Brown, and for months he's had this date in his fixture because he thought, well, Partick Thistle as well, he'll go and tie it in. He's been counting down the weeks, and on Monday, of course, the news comes, Scott Brown's no longer the Air manager.
By the way,
that's the type of influence this guy
has. He could have given me £200 now. I got him a meet and greet with Scott Brown.
It's for the kids.
It's for kids, Tony.
That's,
incredible, isn't
it? He phoned me the other day. I can't even say what I was going to say there. I would get kicked off air. But I thought it was hilarious. And in typical Hugh Keevans fashion, he's lost his grand.
Unbelievable.
So, but anyway, listen, I think the bigger picture is that he's actually spent some money, which is also another big issue for
sure. You could just kid on your Scott Brown and you make up a handshake.
And get a line of your hair.
Anyway, 0141 951 1025, get involved. What did you make of last night? Was it a bit better? Did it look a bit more purposeful? Clearly a bit more of a press, certainly,
yeah,
to start.
Absolutely.
Did things drop off worryingly though? What about the goal that was conceded? What worked? There you go. I know it's easy to be very doom and gloom. Clearly there wasn't a massive list of positives, so try and come up with one. Tell us something that you think worked over the last couple of games, or someone that you think even boosted their case to go to the World Cup. And I'm sure there'll be lots of things that you feel maybe didn't work or you want worked on. So give us all your thoughts, please. And as we referenced earlier, if you want to just talk domestic football, you are more than welcome. Gary will kick us off. Oh, hi, Gary.
Good evening, Gordon.
How are you?
Hi, Scott. Hi, sorry, Alex and Tony.
Tony. Yep.
Hope you're all well.
And
First of all, by the way, just to Alex and Tony, by the way, I really, really hope that you can go on and win this league and get automatic promotion. I think you're already doing a great job down there, so keep it up for the last few weeks of the season.
Thanks.
So the games over the last few days, last night was definitely an improvement. I think formation-wise, I think the kind of press early on, getting at the Ivory Coast, it was definitely better than Saturday. A bit more urgency, and I think that 5-3-2 or 3-5-2 kind of formation definitely kind of gave us a bit more kind of going forward. But a bit like the goalkeeping position, I think if Craig Gordon's no fit, I think we're in trouble. And that's kind of the same as the top end of the pitch in terms of strikers of real quality. We're going to struggle to score a goal in the World Cup against these good defenders, because we just don't have somebody up top who's capable of putting the ball in the back of the net against these bigger teams. And it's a real worry. It's a real worry. Because midfield is, I'm not going to say as good as MD's, but we're strong in midfield. But you can make all the chances you want. If players aren't making the runs for you, or they're not capable of putting the ball in the net, we're going to struggle. So that's a bit of a worry for me. But over the piece, I think, last night was definitely an improvement. But yeah, there's a long way to go to the World Cup, so it wouldn't have mattered if we'd won the two games, because it's such a long way to go to the World Cup that you couldn't say that we're in good form going in. But yeah, it was just it's a bit better last night, but not good enough.
Do you agree generally with the assessment then? We'll get to some of the specifics. Yeah. Gary mentions about the squad, but was last night better? I know that's
it was for
maybe
me.
That's a small achievement, but is that the reality?
Yeah, I thought they were more aggressive, Gordon, and I think he touched on that, Gary, about the press. I think they went man for man. They tried to get in and tried to upset the Ivory Coast, and for me, they did that for periods. And and I don't want to sound too negative, I just felt, you know, we didn't keep the ball well enough at times, and I think that's an issue for us. And unsurprisingly, because I've really been championing Gilmore, I thought at times he was a wee bit wasteful, and it's unlike him because he's such a good technician on the ball. And I think going forward for Scotland, if they want to try and keep the ball at that level, and I know what the others bring, you know, you look at McGinn brings power, he brings goals, you McTominay, but you need somebody in there to kind of pull the strings. And I think they will complement each other when it comes to the crunch. I think they'll be nailed on to start. And I think if we're going to get goals, I think that's one of the issues at the top end. I was actually quite impressed with Hurst. You know, I haven't seen a lot of him, and I thought he'd done okay at times. I think sometimes he offers something slightly different.
We'll jump ahead then of like kind of talking points, because that's something I had in mind. If you were to look at someone who improved their chances, let's say, because like someone nailed on, obviously, right? And there might not be loads, but would he be one that you think maybe come out of the break just a bit better than he went in the eyes of?
Well, listen, obviously Steve Clarke's a man that has to impress. For me, I was impressed with certain things that he did, and he just brings a different option to there. You know, you look at the other two, you're looking at Lyndon Dykes, and I've been this with the greatest respect. This is a guy who's just won 50 caps. His mobility is kind of limited. He's robust, and you're trying to kind of get balls in the focal point. And he will nick the odd goal. I think Shanklin, if he's fit, could potentially really make an impact, because I think he is a right good goal scorer. And then you look at Shea Adams. You know, he charges about and he'll run the channels, he'll press as much as you like. But is he an out-and-out proper goal scorer at that level? I'm not quite sure.
Tony, overall, just that general assessment, do you think that is the feeling? Is that the easiest way to sum this up? It was, you know, it was better. There were things that were better last night. Was it an improvement?
Yeah, I think he's went back to a kind of three at the back, and I think with the players he picked, it probably suits Scotland a lot. They can play with one up front, maybe put like a Ryan Christie or even John McGinn off the striker. It means he can put more of his better players in the team, and that's what he needs to do, because obviously his better players are more central midfielders, more your McTominays, your Gilmores, your McGinns, your Christies. So I think he's obviously experimenting, but I think he'll know exactly what he wants. I think, like Al said, Shanklin probably the most natural goal scorer. I like Adams, I do. I think Dykes does well when it's one up front and they're kind of going long and he's winning headers and it's a kind of backs against the wall performance. Adams more like a channel runner. I don't know if they've got the players to play two up. That's my kind of feeling. I think it'll probably be more of a kind of...
I think it was though just about trying, because obviously we played 3-5 at the back for ages and people said we need to move away from it. We went to four. Was it about just trying a different plan? Because Ben Doak is part of the reason that you play for. He wasn't there last night. You know, and hopefully, touch wood, he'll be fit for the World Cup.
I think that's a really good point. I think if you are going to go with that kind of winger, then obviously you wouldn't be going a 3-5-2.
Gannon Doak, sorry, I forgot the rebrand.
So the thing is, if he plays, then I think you can potentially go with the back four. However, I think with the personnel we have, I think the interesting one, who would be the right wing back at that, you know, because it's always been a kind of stumbling. You've even seen Tierney over there at times as well. I quite like
Aaron Hickey.
Hickey, if he's
his injuries probably hold him back for being the number one. Yeah, I think Scotland probably would play two wing backs if he was always fit, and then obviously to
but
get
then you
Tierney,
can't get Ben Gannon-Doak in the team if you do
but,
that.
But then you probably just give him the role off a striker, because he is electric. He is. You kind of give him a free role and rebrand that, because he likes how you rebrand, didn't he? And I think if you play him off the striker, you don't really need two wingers, and I don't think Scotland have got the capabilities to have two wingers. I don't think there's another winger who's going to start ahead there like your McGinns, your McTominay. No. So they're going to get them in the team. I think Doak can play off a striker. If not, it's Christie maybe off him, and you've still got your Gilmore, McTominay, McGinns. And I know McGinn does a good job for in the wide areas or whatever, but I'd like to see him central as well.
So Gary, to sum up, you are in the sort of could do better, but not distraught about the last week. Is that sort of fair?
Yeah, I think listen, hopefully we're building up, because obviously we were better last night than we were against Japan. So we're better in the next game than we were against Ivory Coast. Then we're building towards the kind of right sort of form for the World Cup. But a few names you mentioned there, by the way, Ben Gannon-Doak, Aaron Hickey would make such a difference, especially going forward to that team. And then again, Shanklin, if he's in there, definitely a better goal scorer, but still not going to scare defences. I don't think, looking at his name, if he's won both three games, I wouldn't be saying we're going to win the World Cup. So because we've lost the two, I'm not going to say that's us, done and dusted. A long way to go, but improvement. So you can only ask for improvement.
Can, you know, that's international football in a nutshell, isn't it? You might have an imbalanced squad, and clearly our midfield are strongest area. Yeah. So you're then trying to get a scenario where, like, that's why, to be fair, this is a third tournament with this group. Over the piece, managed to unlock John McGinn to score goals, Scott McTominay to score goals. What do you do if there's not a top class international striker there? And the great thing about it is you can always debate and say, well, why not call up this guy or why not call up that guy? I think if we're being really, really honest, as much as we're probably talking margins here, there might be someone who... But do you know what I mean? We're not leaving a top-class English Premier League striker at home. You'd be going to the Championship again, or you'd be trying, you'd be hoping that somebody can be slightly better.
I don't think there's anybody out there. I know the people come on and go, oh, he should be in or he should be in, but I don't think you're sitting there going, my God, how's he made that squad? Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's in the forward areas, and I think they've tried several things. They put the boy Conway the weekend on the left-hand side,
which by the way is where he plays for Middlesbrough now.
Yeah, I know, but historically he's played through the middle. I think that's what they bought him for, and he may be doing a decent job down there, but I don't see at international level that boy making an impact off the left-hand side.
I'm probably a bit similar in terms of there's not really been MD left out, but I would rather see a younger one coming for the future then, in terms of maybe Barney Stewart, maybe Conway, and going, there's three games in a row, there's World Cup experience, and then it means for the next one, because Dykes probably isn't going to be in the next campaign. He's not going to start at the World Cup.
Maybe see that in the Nations League campaign after, though.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, but even at that, like, if...
Because this is the thing, I would love it. I would love the story, right, of Barney Stewart. I really would, but that's kind of what we're talking about. That this notion that moves the dial, with no disrespect to him, that kind of someone who... Is we're now starting to see what he's capable of at a Scottish Premiership level. Does that move the dial?
I gave Steve Clark his flowers for taking Finlay Curtis, because he's another one for the future, and I know Steve Clark's contract, which is quite ironic, is running out, and he doesn't know what's happening. But for me, I would try and get young players in the squad. I know the World Cup, he's probably been loyal to the people that's done well for him. Yeah, I get that, but there's also space for one or two bodies. Your Calvin Millers, your Craig Halkett's, these boys that have punched above their weight for their team this season, in terms of they're all full cup or tip for relegation. Hearts are sitting top of the league.
He's gone Dominic Hyam instead of Craig Halkett, clearly, hasn't he?
Yeah, and I can't give an opinion because I've not watched any. Is it Wrexham he plays for?
Yeah, he actually did okay last night. I didn't think it was too bad.
I think for me, and I'm not being unrealistic here, I think Halkett's potentially over the last 18 months been one of Scotland's best centre-halves in terms of Scottish players playing anywhere. I think he's been outstanding. I think Hearts miss him when he's not there, and he's captained him a lot. I think he should have at least been the squad. I don't know, maybe I'm right or wrong, I don't know, but I think he could play for Scotland, especially in a back three.
Thank you very much to Gary for kicking things off. 01419511025 to join in, and we'll speak to you next.
Find the perfect space for your business with DRK & Company Realty. Flexible office suites are available. Employees and clients benefit from free parking, front door access, and walkable dining, retail, and hotels at the Polaris Lifestyle Center. Managed by DRK & Company Realty, one of Central Ohio's most trusted leaders, this safe, well-maintained property offers dedicated on-site management and responsive maintenance. Grow your business at an address designed for success at 470 Old Worthington Road. Visit drk-realty.com to learn more.
The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is on at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,000 store-wide with our lifetime price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? Limited time clearance savings only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Alex Ray are here at 0141 951 1025. If you want involved, please do. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. And don't forget, every caller who makes it on air tonight as well goes into the hat for a pair of tickets to the air races, the Scottish Grand National as well. We've been doing that all week, very popular as always. I think we've got a nice bit of crossover there with people who call the show and people that would like to go. So please get involved if that tips you towards calling us. 01419511025. Let's hear from Steve Clark, his assessment on the game last night.
I thought my team was really positive, and that's what I take out of the game. Another defeat, never like losing. I think we deserve to lose. I told the players after the game, I'm pleased. Two performances, two different systems. We tried to play on the front foot. By and large, we did. And we just need to find a little bit of quality or a little bit of calmness when you get to the final third of the pitch. And if you do that, the chances will come.
Has it got anything to do at all with the reaction? Because once again, we had a half-time and a little bit of full-time. Can that, if there is a bit of negativity there, can that creep onto the final third when your guys are needing to keep that bit of composure?
I wouldn't like to think so. I wouldn't like to think so. And I think the more you speak about it, the more you encourage people to be negative. So I'd rather not talk about it.
I think that is possibly the way that could have been answered at the weekend as well, because we've been talking about it all week. It feels like the booing has become a much bigger deal than it actually is. Like, see if you were at hand, Hugh was on given, because he got out, he was let out of the house and he went to a game at the weekend. It's not like Hampden erupted with boos at the weekend. There was a couple, there was some. And then, you know, you kind of move on. People have been commenting this week as well about how things have probably just changed a bit now. You know, fans, it used to need to be something terrible before you booed, whereas now it's a bit more of an automatic reaction for some people when they lose. And now it's become this big thing, hasn't it, over the last week for Scotland?
I think the big thing is the expectations have been raised because Scotland qualified. They've been to two Euros tournaments as well, so people are thinking, oh, if they're not winning every week, we're going to boo. Every game we're going to boo. I think a lot of the boo boys are just... It doesn't make sense. I think a lot of people boo out of not knowing what they're up to, not watching the game, and you get maybe get a small section, but I think a lot of Scotland fans are pleased where they are. They're all buzzing to go to America. I think you can be top of the league and losing 2-0 at half time and get booed. I think you just need to water off a duck's back. I think Steve Clarke handled that well, saying the more you ask me about it, the more it gets highlighted, and I think that...
And here we are still highlighting it.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, he just shot it down.
I think it has shifted a bit, though. I feel like I don't get out to as many games anymore, but I do just feel like it's a bit more... It's just a bit more readily done now than it used to be.
I think it's just a show of emotion that people actually do. Whether it's half-time, they're not quite happy with what they're seeing, or full-time, they let their feelings known. And I don't think too many people read too much into it, Gordon. I agree with you. I think it was just a minority. I think if you spoke to the majority of Scotland fans, they'd be really happy where they're at. On the back of the two performances, I would think there'll be a concern at the top end of the pitch, you know, because I think ultimately you need to try and carry a threat. And he's absolutely right about having a look at both shapes, you know, because it gives you an idea, it gives you a place in your mind, it gives you an opportunity, depending on when we had this discussion at the break there. Whatever the personnel in will probably dictate what the shape will be. So, you know, if Doak's not there, it'll probably be three at the back, because you don't have any wingers really accessible to you.
Because it used to be, it made sense because you wanted Kieran Tierney and Andy Robertson in. Then four makes sense because you want to try and get Ben Gannon. I don't think you do it solely because of that.
No.
But
well, the thing is, it's like us as an example. So last week, we were really struggling for wide players, Gordon. We ended up playing with a right back at right midfield and a left back playing at left midfield. And you just have to kind of try and cobble together and then try and get a result on the back of that. Is it ideal? No. Mm-hmm. But you still have to roll with the punches, and it dictates how you set up a team. And it'll be interesting. Obviously, there'll be a few of the younger players would have been a bit disappointed. Mm-hmm. Maybe not get a little bit of game time, you know, Lennon Miller and Finlay Curtis obviously get 10 minutes or so the first game against Japan, but obviously never get there. But the one thing about these guys is, and as Tony said, they will be gathering experience being around all these, your McGinns of the world, your McTominays that have won the, you know, league titles.
Gillian is on the line in Sandy Hills, which means she's probably caught a few stray golf balls of Alex Ray's over the years. Gillian, how are you?
Hey, I'm no bad. Hi, Alex and
hello there.
Tony.
How you doing? What made you call tonight, Gillian?
It's just everybody moaning about Scotland getting beaten in these friendlies. I mean, I think the friendlies are for Steve Clarke to chop and change the players so he can pick the very best first team to play when we go to America, and of course the best subs to take for the bench as well, because they were playing well against Japan. And I've got to remember they were 22 places above us. I just feel that they were unlucky, and people just need to get behind them and show positive support to.
Yeah, I mean, look, Japan are over. I hear they had a high profile victory last night as well.
Yes.
News has reached me. So, like, it kind of shows the level. I think obviously friendlies are, you know, are what they are. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that naturally drops intensity or whatever, you guys can maybe speak to that. Also, I mean, if you were going to judge last night, then the team, that's not the team that would play.
Yeah.
But then we're talking about last night actually being a bit better, so that's why it's just very hard. It's all kind of fluid. You make so many changes within the game. I mean, that team last night that started the game, we've praised them for the start, but yeah, that team won't start a World Cup game. That, how many do you want that we're missing? Changed 9 changes from the weekend. Hickey, Gannon, Doak, Shankland, hopefully they'll all then add to the squad. So, but then at the same time, Gillian saying everybody just needs to get behind the team and be positive. They don't need to do anything. You know, they can express whatever they want.
Yeah.
So it's, I get the feeling we'll just go round and round.
I think we just need to relax. You know, the thing is, obviously, yeah, the two results weren't what you were looking for, and ultimately you want to go in, but we've still got some friendlies to negotiate. Again, for me, the bigger picture is that you want all your main players fit and ready to go in the summer, and then hopefully they can pull off. We've seen this group pull off big results over the course to get to what, a couple of Euros in it, and now the World Cup after such a long time. So listen, it's important that we actually get behind them when it really matters, and then obviously it's down to Steve Clarke to try and come up with a formation and personnel that can actually get results in the big stage.
Because this notion, I think Gary, the first caller, mentioned it, of is there such a thing as momentum? I mean, it's March, right? But to be, some people have said, oh, I'm seeing worrying signs. This is what happened for the last Euros. We didn't go in with any good form. But they don't mention that the first Euros, we drew with the Netherlands and beat Luxembourg in the two friendlies, and we crashed and burned at that tournament. So is there a correlation, do you think, between what happens in the games prior?
No, the games are too split for me. It's consistency in terms of people being around the squad and knowing what Steve Clarke wants is all well and good, but you've got to remember Japan are a top, top side. They've got a lot of European players now playing at a high, high level. I think 2-1-0 defeats isn't critical either. You'll have seen a lot of performances, ones that he likes, ones that he maybe doesn't like. I think results don't matter for me in this period, this kind of March period going into the World Cup. Not that we've get experience it in the past, because we're always playing a qualifier or something to get to the tournament, but I think that the ones that will matter will be the build up to the World Cup in terms of that kind of month before or whatever they meet up. And Steve Clarke will probably play a stronger, more consistent squad starting 11. I think the boys that are going to play in the World Cup will probably play most of their games. This one was more for to give some people a little taste to see if they're ready, to see if they're fit probably for the World Cup. And like you say, there's no Gannon Doak, who's probably our most, he's the one that gets your bums off the seats more than anybody. John McGinn never started last night, so they're the two probably starting wingers if he puts that
would
there.
Would you have liked to have seen it gone further? I mean, there were some kind of milestones, if you like. I think, well, over the piece, there was a debut for Finlay Curtis, there was a first ever start for Tommy Conway, a first ever start for Dominic Hayam, a first ever start for Liam Kelly, I think Nathan Patterson's first start in 2 years, yeah, maybe. But I still get the feeling a lot of fans this morning wanted more than that. Maybe wanted Lennon Miller for a spell, maybe wanted Finlay Curtis longer.
That's probably the only negative. Like, I can only speak for Lennon because I kind of keep up to date with his career, and how he didn't play over the two legs, did he?
No.
30 minutes, maybe. I think Steve Clarke's maybe a little bit stubborn in that way. I think he likes to get people caps, and I can understand that he is loyal, but it wouldn't have hurt maybe giving him 30 minutes or even Curtis 30 minutes one of the games. I know he gets 10, but like, he'd probably get a good look at them in training, but in a game environment, somebody could shock you, somebody could do something and maybe get the place buzzing again. And that's probably what Scotland lack, a wee buzz. I think because we are probably a defensive team, I think we're trying to just get by and get results, which I totally accept because we go back to the squad.
Do you know what I was thinking when Tony's talking about? Is it all about that top end of the pitch, Alex? Because I just said there, Liam Kelly made his first ever Scotland start. Dominic Hayam made his first ever Scotland start. The right back started for the first time in 2 years. If those are strikers who make their first start, there's maybe just a bit more intrigue.
Do you know what I mean?
You should get a bit more.
Absolutely, because
I'm sure, you know, if met with the accusation of you stuck with the same guys, that's that Steve Clarke would produce you that list and say,
let's not really back that up.
You know, the kind of facts are there, but fans always want to go a little bit further. And I'm the same. I think with my own biases, I'd love to have seen Lennon Miller play a bit, yeah. You know, so I just wonder if it's, like we said, those options at the top end where you yeah. can
maybe throw it in and have a wee look at it and see if you're going to get someone. As Tony says, you're looking for somebody just to come out of left field and work their way into the squad. And as I said, obviously Big Hurst kind of showcased a little bit. And you mentioned three or four other players there that had made their debuts and so forth, Gordon. So I don't think he's going to make... I just don't get the impression that Steve Clarke will make wholesale changes in this environment, because it's important to kind of maintain the nucleus, the togetherness of the squad, the unity within the squad on the pitch and off it. So I think, you know, it doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to kind of make 6-8 kind of per game. Yeah. So I think it's important to remain, you know, loyal to what it's actually been successful for him to get to these tournaments. I think what everyone's looking for is how do we go that step further when it comes to crunch time. And
so, Gillian, you're feeling a not quite doom and gloom about it. You've got a bit more optimism.
See, when I was younger, it was just a given. And the World Cup Scotland get into. So I was 17 in 1998.
And just a youngster.
Yep. And it was a bit embarrassing all these years, but they've just got to be positive.
It's like everything you need a balance, don't you? Because you can't just then say, well, we've not been, so just turn up, who cares, make up the numbers, just be happy to be there. You can't say that.
No.
But at the same time, you maybe have to give just a little bit of acknowledgement to
the level.
You'd rather be there than no be there, to state the obvious.
Without a doubt.
Look at what all those times have been like. Are you going to allow the kind of the buzz and the build up to the World Cup that should be there? Are you going to allow that to be ripped up because you lost two friendlies 1-0? Yeah. That's a personal choice. People can do that if they want, but I also get why people at Gillian are saying, like, try and embrace it, just maybe even a little bit.
Yeah, listen, I've got a mate who's been to about four Euros and about three World Cups. He's a canny age now, and he obviously nearly touching 70, and he's managed to get the tickets for the three games. Mad Tartan Army character. You've never seen a guy so happy. You know, last night he was actually putting on the group chat. He says they managed to get a burger and a beer for about 11 quid. He was over the moon.
He's happy with that.
He was absolutely over the moon that he was sat in this lovely environment, and he was going.
A fortune, that.
No, but he actually thought it was really reasonable, you know. So anyway, he was loving it. And the fact that he's going to go to a World Cup at this late stage in his life, he's going to embrace it.
It'll be three times that in the summer. Thank you to Gillian on the line. Michael is in Bayliston. How are you, Michael?
Not bad. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Good, thanks. What are you thinking tonight?
I'm going to be a bit controversial, but actually, Gordon and Tony have just backed up my arguments. So, Gordon, you said they were on about the matches before the previous two tournaments, and we don't talk about them. Some were good results, some were bad. You mentioned the Netherlands. I think that Steve Clarke is the man to get us to these tournaments. He's just not necessarily the man to take us forward in the tournaments. And the reason why Tony backed me up on that is the fact that he mentioned about get the place buzzing. Steve Clarke doesn't give that kind of attitude or give that kind of aura of getting the players buzzing. Doesn't get me buzzing. I don't think he gets supporters buzzing. And I think that's what's missing. And it's a shame because he's done a great job getting us to all these tournaments, but he's just not the man to take us forward.
As in
his demeanour?
Right now or after the World Cup?
Oh, no, right now.
Oh, jeez.
I don't think that's going to happen, Michael. Listen, you go back to when he came in the job, you know, hadn't really qualified for anything for a while, and all of a sudden he's managed to get to 2 Euros in a World Cup with this squad of players. Now, we're scrambling about here, talking about the top end. We're quite limited. And as you rightly said, Gordon, it was the top of the, you know, the table which actually got us there. So I think he's done enough to warrant, if not, you know, there'll be people out there clamouring to get a new contract for Steve Clarke as well in terms of his qualification. And then obviously you have to look at when you get to the kind of major competitions, how do you then turn that into picking up points? Because, as I said, and I mean this with the greatest respect to the players there, I never played international football, but you know, there's guys in there, you're looking at it now and you're thinking, right, okay, it's a tough old gig trying to get goals at the top end of the pitch for them. And but they've managed to accumulate 40 and 50 caps, so they must be doing something right.
Is that not that balance we just spoke about there, Michael, where absolutely don't just go to make up the numbers. We need to do better than we get there. But you don't qualify since 1998 and then the manager that gets you there, having got you to the €2, you sack that manager. That feels extreme.
It is extreme, but we're football supporters. We want to win.
Okay, it feels wrong, shall I say. I'll reword it.
Yeah, no, it is unfair. But life's not fair, and football's a cutthroat business.
Who would you like to see Scotland lead Scotland to the World Cup? Who's going to take over all the qualification good work and see us through the group stage this summer?
Well, Alex Ray said earlier on about one of his players coming in and saying how he's buzzing going into training and there was a really good atmosphere. I'd like somebody that would create that atmosphere. Alex, if you're free, I mean,
oh, for goodness.
I'll back you, but Jurgen Klopp, Xavi Alonso, somebody that's going to inspire. Somebody's going to get that
right.
And here's
the problem, Michael. You know, we love trying to get the opinions and all the rest of it. Jurgen Klopp, I've got news for you. Ain't taking Scotland to the World Cup. I mean, this is
maybe afford them for 3 weeks. No,
three hours. Days. Jurgen Klopp.
I actually think.
Imagine that phone call.
Jurgen, it's Max's.
I don't think he accepts the phone call. I think he laughs. I think Scotland have actually got that. Togetherness. I think the fact that he's so stubborn on who he picks in terms of keeping the group together. Well, don't get me wrong, you hear whispers in a good way. People are together, they're all friends, they're all out. You see when they qualify, they're all out for 2 days and going back to their team late. I think Scotland have got that togetherness.
That unity.
I think, and I'm going to be controversial here, I think qualifying is a success regardless of how Scotland do, because we're not expected to do anything. I think the problem now with Steve Clarke...
Got him high though, don't you?
Yeah,
I mean,
I get that, but I think qualifying's still a success. He has raised the expectations. Does he come across as quite a boring guy with a dual voice, potentially? And I think that's what goes against him, but...
Do you think Michael's joining up dots there that maybe don't exist? Because he's saying he's not buzzing, fans aren't buzzing, that's fine. I don't think we can say that extends to the players. I think if you look at the way they all turn up, basically, because like, that wasn't always the case, and I know it should be a bare minimum, but nobody ever pulls out of squads, really. They're all there. They have clubbed together and got to three tournaments, so I think they probably do enjoy the environment, even if that's hard for Michael to understand from the outside.
And listen, for me, looking for the outside as well, it looks to me as if it's a group that are willing to fight and compete for each other. As Tony says, I'm led to believe that they actually go and socialise together as well. And see the fact that he's actually done this. I was just thinking there, and obviously Michael's actually threw a hand grenade in there and saying, "Oh, who's going to be that he takes to World Cup?" The biggest challenge for anyone who comes in the back of Steve is trying to qualify or repeat what he's done.
Yeah, it's not a good job to touch after Steve Clarke, because people understand that he's raised the expectations. I think the way he talks and the way he is professional, but people obviously don't take to it.
Well, if Jurgen Klopp or Xavi Alonso are listening, give us a call, 01419511025. Thank you to Michael on the line. Before we go any further, how does this sound? Clyde One. If Michael stays on the line, he could enter this and offer it to Jurgen Klopp as he's signing on fee, £750,000. Wow. Pounds. I wouldn't even do it, would it? Anyway, that's the reality on Make Me A Winner. You can spend it on something more sensible if you want. Kickstart your April in the best way possible by texting YES to 61025. Texts are £2.50 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll also find the rules for this network competition, or call 03434 269 340. Calls all charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. on Good Friday. Somebody wins the lot, it might as well be you. Text YES to 61025.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here, mostly Scotland on the agenda for obvious reasons, but if you want to switch focus, you want to bring up domestic football, we're here for you. The lines are very much open to that, so get in touch. Here's what Steve Clarke had to say about the formation, going back to the back 3-5 last night.
I like the shape. I do like playing with front two. Sometimes it's difficult because I've got so many good midfield players that you're always tempted to try and get them into your side. I've said before, the back five, when we play a back five, it's a system that qualified us for two tournaments. And then everybody suddenly became really negative about it. When I have the key personnel,
that I can put on the pitch. The back five, the way we play, is a really good system for us. Whether we play with a back five, one striker, and two off the top, it's a system that works for us. Played it for the best part of 5 years, so they know exactly how to play. Every player that played in that system tonight has played there.
But what formation would Jurgen Klopp play? That's the real question here on everybody's lips. Andy is next on. Andy will go in the hat for the tickets to Air Races as well. Andy, take it away. What's your take on all this?
Yeah, how you doing? Just phoning in a good thistle man, so I knew Alex and Tony were on tonight, so I thought I'd make my point. No, listen, a couple of points. Just firstly on Scotland, I think the performance last night, I was happy with it, I was impressed with it. I know the scoreline wasn't great. I think there were some standout performances, and for me, the young boy Hurst, who I didn't really know much about, I think he was a handful last night and looked really, really promising. Some of your build-up play, you know, the one-touch football and the sort of triangles and then spreading it across to the other side. I think the guys who came in, I think they really did well for themselves and gave a good account. The performance against Japan wasn't great. There were spells of it, but ultimately we're trying to play different opposition than the Europeans and try different systems and formations. And I think as long as we didn't take a gubbin in those friendly matches, I don't think we can have too much to complain about. I don't think it's the result that mattered. It's more about the game time for players and trying different things prior to going to this World Cup. So for me, I'm still positive. And I heard the caller earlier talking about Steve Mann, the right guy to take his further on. Listen, the guy's got us to three tournaments, and he has to be given his chance. I mean, he's done a fantastic job, and we should be giving him credit and thanking him for his efforts. Mm.
Something Tony and I were talking about at the break when you disappeared, Alex, to wherever you went. It's again to repeat and to really hammer home the point. You should still aim high. You should still go to the groups and demand more and want more. But I feel like see if some other nation qualified for a World Cup for the first time since 1998 and then decided to bring in a different manager purely for the tournament, we would all say, look how mad they are. You know, that's the sort of thing that you would associate with some far-flung country that does wacky things. You know, it feels like the rest of the world would laugh at us for that.
Let's get it right. It's not going to happen. And, you know, there's been a lot of speculation about his contract, but I think he's obviously trying to part that. I think he wants to focus on the job at hand. And listen, I think there'd be an uproar if they changed it now, just purely for the point of view, as this guy over the course of his tenure has managed to get us to three tournaments. So I think
Xabi Alonso would look really good.
He'd look great. He'd sound brilliant.
Brilliant, man. Mm-hmm,
yeah. But listen, it's not going to happen. And listen, I was interested in listening to what he was talking about there in terms of his formation, because he was obviously kind of championing the five, wasn't he? You know, it still allows him. We were talking about if you get Ben Gannon-Doak on the right hand side, who would come off the left, and it would still allow you to get a couple of midfielders in there as well. So it's a possibility going into these next couple of games, and I think it'll probably give you an indication of how they're going to start, Gordon.
Andy references George Hurst. I think that's a couple of nods we've had for him as being one of the the winners. Look, to what extent, make up your own mind, but one of the kind of winners, if you like, from the double header. Is that something you'd go along with your striking hat on?
Yeah, I think if Steve Clark, which he says in his interview he likes two strikers, I think there'll be an opportunity to take maybe one or two extra now, and I think he'll probably be on the plane. I think he'd done enough over the course.
Because I think whether, you know, you look at the group that's played and got there, clearly Dykes and Adams will go.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. Shankland the fit, probably.
I would think so. Yeah,
and Hurst, is that the four?
Possibly, yes. I don't really see anyone coming out of left field, Gordon. I don't. I'm trying to think what the possibilities are.
Well, the ones that have been in squads. Well, if it depends. Are we considering Tommy Conway a winger now? Who knows?
I don't think he's ahead of Hurst on the back of these couple. But again, the next
Kieran
couple.
Kieran Bowie's been in squads.
I don't think he's doing. He's not hardly scored since
probably
he went
Italy. Probably at the end of season, he could probably be one that.
And then the outside ones that people are mentioning just in passing is, can Ollie McBurney come back in? He's got good numbers in the Championship. There are others. But I think Hurst would have been, I think he probably would have gone anyway. But Jing just really kind of strengthened his case.
I've seen people talk about Ollie Burke as well. Is he not playing at quite a high level in Germany?
In Bundesliga. I don't think he's scored loads of goals this season. But people talk about because he's different. He's a bit quicker.
Yeah, something like that wouldn't be a bad kind of left field. I'm not saying about him being called up, but for something different. If Steve Clarke knows his formation, I think he'll pick it to suit. I think Ben Doak will be, like you said, a big factor in which formation he plays. I think if Ben Doak, let's say hypothetically, misses the World Cup, I think he'll probably go to two strikers, and I think there'll be a space for one or two more strikers.
He is fit, he's back, he just wasn't in time to join up with the squad, but then hopefully everybody stays fit for the summer. So Andy, do you think you don't buy into this notion that it's a worrying trend, and you know, friendly results before the World Cup point to what's going to happen when you get there?
No, I don't. Unless you go out and get scudded 5-0, I don't think, guys. I mean, I think if you look at the teams we've played, you've got the Ivory Coast and Japan, who are higher rankings than we are, and I think we've gave a good account of ourselves. Granted, the Japan game, look, the performance wasn't great, but there were spells where we did play, you know, really, really well. So I wasn't overly concerned about it. I think I liked what I saw. I liked some of the build-up play, as I said. I think the players that came in did themselves justice. No, it didn't worry me. I switched that TV off last night, and I was actually still surprised. I know we're not talking about it, and I don't want to go on it, but there was a couple of boos at the end of it, which I think, unfortunately, that's the modern era that we live in now, that fans will go and boo when you've had a good performance.
Yep, thank you very much, Sandy. It's a nail on the head and takes us up nicely to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
We've kept Tony Watt in chains in recent weeks. He's chomping at the bit to play Beat the Pundit. He's not had the chance. Will the coin fall his way this evening? It could be you that gets involved. So give us a call before 7 o'clock on 01419511025.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Alex Ray are here. It's 01419511025. So get in touch. Lots of reflections coming in on the Scotland performances over the last couple of days. If you're wondering about the range of opinions, just to sum up how everybody's got one and they can be at different ends of the scale, we've gone from Jurgen Klopp should be the manager to take Scotland to the World Cup to pretty much the previous caller before the break, he was nearly in Steve Clarke's statue territory. So I don't know, maybe the truth is in the middle somewhere, as is often the case on this show. But if you want to talk domestic football, I know some of you will be chomping at the bit to get back to it. Feel free, we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Tony Watt is probably one of the only pundits who actively likes Beat the Pundit and enjoys it. Well, you'd include your Hannahs, your Hallidays, the experts in that, but the rest could probably take it or leave it, quite frankly, because they don't like the embarrassment. But Tony thrives on it and hasn't played in a couple of weeks. It's funny how they all come out the woodwork when you two are on, though. James is a Thistle fan. This would be good, this, James. Ooh. Because I reckon, James, if you beat them, we could get one of them to present you the signed ball at a game. That would be fair, would it not?
Well, that sounds good.
I'd be happy with that.
Any coins left?
Oh, there's like, well, the coin, yeah, absolutely the coin if you want. That's easier.
If we win, will he come and get a picture with me just to show that I've beat him? Would that be good also?
Is that fair, James?
That's
that. He's confident, isn't he, James?
Okay.
Joking, no, listen.
No, no.
Any mention of the socks he's happy with. I noticed did you try a wee April Fool on social media today?
I'm 32 years old and I just could not. I seen people doing it. I thought, do you know, that's a good wee marketing.
So what, you pretended you were branching out to t-shirts?
Yes, a brown t-shirt with a big P on it. It looked horrendous. And by the way, I got abused off Morton fans. It was the most random thing ever.
Do you know what? I saw it and I thought, well,
because we always beat them, Tony. Don't worry,
true.
I thought nobody sensible will fall for that. It's not a bad effort from Tony. Nobody sensible will fall for it, apart from our sports reporter Andrew McLean.
Is he went for it?
He went in two footed. Had to show him a yellow card for it.
Did he?
Yeah. Oh. He text saying, what about this?
Was he slagging or did he think it was nice? That's
might
what I want to know.
Obviously.
Oh.
Well, it was meant to be slagged. That was the whole point of it.
I know,
set
but,
it up that way.
But,
now you're taking offence.
I would like a wee bit of loyalty for him.
April Fools, honestly. A man of your. Funnily enough, though, you're talking about your mentality and how you're 32 and maybe shouldn't be worried about that stuff. My 5-year-old thinks it's like a thing. Thinks like Christmas. You're wishing everybody like happy April Fools. Yes. And I was away early this morning. So I was away for the day and she was in floods of tears. Because she couldn't prank me, apparently. So it is to 5-year-olds and you,
And me.
It's big business. Anyway, let's toss the coin that could well be handed over live at a Partick Thistle game. Blue for Tony Watt, red for Alex Ray, and it is.
Seen it.
Oh, don't.
It's red again.
This is driving me mad.
That's good though, James, because you can get it handed over in the dugout this time.
And you'll probably win now. Sorry, Al.
Right, here's what we do.
Whatever, win anyway.
Do you know the stats? The stats are alarming.
For
5 in a row for him.
Do you know, we had a wee pep talk, because you weren't happy about it, and we had a wee pep talk, and you were like, oh, I'm starting to enjoy it again.
No,
5 appearances in a row. He's been in cold storage.
Oh,
all
I thought
that
he meant
day.
Won
no,
them
no, 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 no. Well, he's won a few, but 5 games in a row.
No, won 5 in a bit.
Okay,
5 Thistle ones in a row. There we go.
Exactly.
An omen.
And by the way, this led to his favourite moment last week, because it was around this time that we gave him some music to listen to, and then he came off and name dropped that he'd been out for dinner with Eric Clapton.
I remember that.
So anyway, let's see who we can give him this week, and we'll revisit that in a second. James, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you do not know the answer. Okay. 30 seconds starting now. How many Scotland players started both friendlies?
2.
Who's higher in the men's rankings, Japan or Ivory Coast?
Japan.
Name any player who scored in Scotland's last friendly win against Liechtenstein last year.
G. Adams.
Stuart Armstrong and which other player joined Celtic from Dundee United at the same time?
Kerry McKay-Steven.
Which Rangers player scored on his first start for Nigeria last night?
No idea.
San Starko is the affectionate nickname of the ground of which Scottish team?
Reasonable.
Okay. What's you smirking at, Tony Watt? Okay, Alex Ray, ready? Oh, is he back? He's still not turned
back
the music
now, yeah.
off. You've been out for dinner with that person, though?
No, that's Stupid Girl by Gossip. Very good song.
Nice. No dinner dates there? Nah.
No.
Okay. Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. How many Scotland players started both friendlies?
7.
Who's higher in the men's rankings, Japan or Ivory Coast?
Japan.
Name any player who scored in Scotland's last friendly win against Liechtenstein last year.
Dykes.
Stuart Armstrong and which other player joined Celtic from Dundee United at the same time?
Gary McKay-Steven.
Which Rangers player scored in his first Nigeria start last night?
Fernandes.
San Starko is the affectionate nickname of the ground of which Scottish team?
Raith Rovers.
Kilmarnock's Rory McKenzie made his debut in which year? How tough's that?
15 years ago, 2010.
It's really tough. Just the thought that somebody could just know for sure what year Rory McKenzie made his debut in. Right, let's go through them. James, you've heard your rival. Is he going to be giving you the coin in the dugout, or are you going for humble pie? What are you thinking?
I think it's going down to the last question.
Let's go through them and find out. How many Scotland players started both friendlies?
3.
2. 9 changes. Andy Robertson, who significantly went second in the all-time cap list, jumped above Jim Leighton.
Was that 90 what? 93?
3, yeah.
92?
Yeah, he's 10 behind, isn't he? 10 behind Kenny Dalglish. So Andy Robertson and Scott McTominay were the two, and James got it. So 1-0 to James. You both knew that Japan were higher. It was 18th to 34th. I mentioned new rankings are out today. France are back top. The men's rankings been a while.
Really?
So you both got that. Liechtenstein last year, George Hurst scored. Shea Adams got a hat trick, and that was it. And James got it. I knew James was a player at this point. And he was flying there. 3-1. Stuart Armstrong and Gary McKay-Steven. Easy for you because you just signed him. But James got it as well. He's a Partick Thistle fan, so he's going to be.
I'm glad I never played tonight.
How's he been?
Oh, he's been great. I played in a bounce game last night, so yeah.
Is that just, I mean, to state the obvious, you sign a player at this stage, you know they've not played a while,
you're trying to get
them up to...
That was the method behind it. I'm more devastated that I'm getting...
You can't even answer my sincere footballing question.
No, we're just obviously trying to get him some minutes just to see what we can do and we introduce him somewhere down the line.
I chuckled at the next question. I called it before the show. I done my research to what questions would get asked, and I said that exact question.
He said it next door.
I said that exact question.
It's pathetic. The pundits are predicting what questions.
I said that exact.
On.
Well, you need to do your research. You need to be a step ahead of the game.
See that, producers, you're too predictable. Tony Watt knew we were going to ask which Rangers player scored in his first start for Nigeria.
Before the show.
Oh, come on. That feels dirty, if you ask me.
Brilliant.
Emmanuel Fernandez. So Alex Ray pulls one back. San Starko, Raith Rovers. Starks Park, still Alex Ray trails by one, but James was finished there. You got one more question in.
Oh,
Kilmarnock from Rory McKenzie.
made his debut for the side in which year? He said 15 years ago.
It was 15 years ago.
But 15 years ago is 2011.
You said 15 years ago, 2010. I know. 16 years ago. Come on.
It's unlucky, innit?
I'm very unlucky.
Unlucky, Alex Ray. James, well done, you've done it.
Well done, my man.
Unlucky, Alex.
Ah, well done, partner. I'll get the key to you. You'll be getting flung. What stand are you in? I'll be throwing it at you.
I'm the Jackie husband.
There you go. I'll give it
if you
to
get
Alex
there early enough, my man, I'll go and do the hospitality prior to it and I'll give you the coin.
Brilliant.
Okay, I'll chat the door, see the wee bouncer let us in.
Aye, no worries,
I'll
mate.
Take
we'll
a picture for the Twitter feed.
So you definitely go in the coin, James?
Aye, I've got a couple of boys.
Oh, you have? Oh, serial winner. I knew he was good.
It was Simon Donnelly, he was easy, that doesn't count.
When he got the four in a row at the start, I thought, yeah, it's tough to beat.
I imagine saying it was 15 years ago and coming up with 2000.
Ah, it's a low moment. You're going to win this league, James? These two are obviously giving me politicians' answers.
Hopefully Tony's back, but this team doesn't get beat, do they? Look at all the goals late on. Tony scored a few himself, so it takes what it is, but it's like they know better from inside the dressing than us. I was just hoping outside. It's like the Scotland question, isn't it? Stevie Clark, he knows what he's doing, so my trust is in Alex and Mark and the players.
I suppose Mark, maybe Mark will get the Scotland job after the World Cup if this will win the league. That'd be a good trajectory.
He wants to get us in the Champions League.
Steady, James, steady. That's true. I was thinking that people saying to you, oh, you'll be back for the playoffs. Maybe it's a bus parade you'll be back for instead. Maybe you won't need to worry about that.
Yeah, I think we always say that. Be back fit for the playoffs, regardless if we're in it or not. That's the kind of aim. But hopefully, I'm ticking along quite nicely, and hopefully I'm back for the kind of last one or two games of the season. And look, the way the boys have been, I don't even know if they need me back. They've been absolutely outstanding. So it's been a joy to watch for the stand as well, because it wasn't lucky the last two games of football on display. The first goal against Raith Rovers was genuinely one of the best I've kind of build up goals I've been a part in terms of my teammates done it.
Was that the first goal was brilliant.
It was one touch.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. I watched it at the time, and thankfully I was up next to the kind of Raith Rovers analysis boy, and he was brand new and he replayed it, and I couldn't believe how good it was. It was brilliant.
I forgot you're in your analysis role now. How's that developed since last week? Adding more strings to your bow?
I'm just I sat with Gary Irvin, who he's the kind of 21s manager who's had a great career and he's a good coach, and I'm just learning for them all, to be honest. I'm just trying to make myself busy because I'm getting paid to be injured, and I don't like that. It's something I really don't like. So,
and speaking of your rehab, given that you plastered it over Instagram, I assume your golf trip today that's physio approved.
Yes,
that's club approved.
We're going well, we're ticking along quite nicely. We're not giving any kind of exact dates or whatever, but I'm back running. So I'm allowed to play golf, and I'm just making sure that I'm not doing anything stupid.
There we go. Thank you very much to James, a victor on Beat the Pundit, and he's going to have to get the coin handed over in person by Alex Ray. So there we go. That's always good. Andy is not too far. Andy's in Faithfully. How are you doing, Andy?
How you doing, boys? You all right?
Yeah. What are you thinking tonight, Andy?
It's the ESL Gordon Alex and the Barcelona kid there, isn't it?
Oh, come on.
Don't mind that.
We like to get through the show without mentioning it.
I know Alex got a few nicknames, but I can't say them on the radio. So
some more on the East End.
You can
I'm
say bald in the radio, no?
You're a good lad. No, listen, boys. It was a couple of calls ago. The guy was going off his nut about get rid of the man in Scotland. Like, come on, just got to the World Cup. I'm similar to Lassie a few calls ago as well. I'm 53. I'll be 53 in about a week's time. I'm going to be watching a World Cup with my grandkids. I was actually one of the first ones through when we qualified with Denmark that night. I phoned, and I think I was one of the first ones through. We're going to a World Cup, man. We have to be up for it, man. Give the boy his time in the light. Give Steve his time in the light, whatever he's done. People saying this about Steve, people saying that about the team. We are going to a World Cup. Think about what happened last night, Italy. Look at Italy going out in penalties. We were already through. We weren't through months ago. We need to give the boys their due, what they've done. We need to be up for it. The good weather's coming. Come on, boys, we're going to America. Our country is going to be playing in a World Cup again. For all the years we've not been doing it, and we need to get up for it, and we have to stop all this doom stuff.
Andy, I'm going to get you to do the team talk in the dressing room in Boston before that first game. Like we said it before, it's hard to, I don't know if we should really be treating it with like a sincere debate, because who are we kidding here? There is not a question about who the Scotland manager is going to be at this World Cup. There it might be for after, but you know, imagination has started to run wild with the subject of, can you imagine what the recruitment process looks like for the next guy when you tell them that our nation that doesn't really do much in the international stage, come and apply for our job on this amount of money. But by the way, we might sack you if you qualify for it. I mean, it's silly on so many levels. So maybe we need to knock that one in the head. But you don't have to be as positive as Andy either. I think that's fine.
That was brilliant for Andy.
Degrees. That's like watching Braveheart, wasn't it?
It was amazing. Just like you said, let Steve Clark take us to the World Cup. If we get through to the next stage and we get a reasonable game and we can maybe qualify again, we're not going to win the World Cup. Let's be honest.
I suppose.
Steve Clark's done well. He's deserving his time in America, and hopefully we get through the group and see what happens.
Again, Andy sort of mentioned it as well, Alex, just a reminder if needed, there are a lot of big teams not going to the World
Cup.
You know, and again, just underline it, because people, we can only do extremes here. You know, you're either a sort
either
of,
or
you're a happy clapper, or you know, you hate everything that Scotland have done. So there has to be room in the middle for, yep, still aim high, try and get the group, so on and so forth. But a lot of big teams not going, and it shows you how easily you can, maybe you can get Italy are now in a cycle of failure for
12 years now, isn't it?
Absolutely remarkable. You know, we always talk about having that difference maker at the top end of the pitch. Sweden knocked out Poland, didn't they, in the playoffs?
Absolutely.
Lewandowski's not going to be there. We consigned Denmark to the playoffs, and they lost in the playoffs, and they're not going to be there. Like, it's not like, I think when Steve Clark first came in, and there was this, probably unfair as well, by the way, but this kind of thing about, oh, what, the Nations League, what's that? And penalties and back door, and people used to say all that. We topped a qualifying group, a legitimate, long, you know, original style qualification group. It's not like, I don't think you can diminish that achievement.
No, and you shouldn't do either, Gordon. And as I said, I think when he came in, I think there was a kind of apathy about, you know, trying to get to a World Cup again, and he's managed to do that. And listen, I think that's refreshing with Andy, and I think he touches a lot of points here as well. My boy's never seen us going to a World Cup, so this will be a totally whole new experience for him, the build up and the razzmatazz that goes with it. And I'm just hopeful that we can actually have a really good go. And the format's slightly changed in the World Cup as well, with third places, which gives us a chance to actually progress. And I think if we can win the first game against Haiti.
Nice.
Yeah, so if we can get the 3 points there, and then you can maybe negotiate a point, you know, against a strong Morocco team as well. And then if you can get 4 points, I think you've got a good chance of kicking on, you know. And then you can go into the Brazil game going, right, okay, let's see if we can book some tickets somewhere. So, you know, and it's great, because guys like Andy's going to be sitting in the couch. I'll probably be back home as well, watching it with my boy. So you can take the positives out of that for sure.
Other things though, Andy, there must still be stuff that need to work on, that needs to get better, all that kind of thing.
I doubt we're going to win it, but do you know what? My God, as I say, I'm 53. I'm born in 1973. I can't remember us no going to World Cups until 98, and Euros. So we've got. It's no all rosy and mad garden, but I'll tell you what it is. See, the boys are doing what they've done. What a tremendous night at Hampden, what they boys done, the goals that they done. Every goal was an absolute screamer, and we absolutely deserve to be on that plane in America early doors, with our feet up, with a wee cigar going, here we come, here we come.
Andy, that was William Wallace on the line there in Faithful. Thank you very
cigar.
Much. Show 141951-1025, and we'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watts are here at 01419511025. Since we're on the subject of Scotland and international football, which, by the way, you can change if you want to talk about your club, please pick up the phone. Mm-hmm. But if you're stuck for something to do this Easter, why not head along to Barclays Hampden to the Scottish Football Museum? Good day out for all the family. Stadium tour, see the dressing rooms, the pitch, a look around the museum. Thousands of different objects in display. It's actually really fascinating. The original mm-hmm. Scottish Cup's the world's oldest national football trophy. Believe me, somebody who spends way more time, it's an occupational hazard than they should in the Hampden Cafe. It's a good spot, that, as well, to feed you and water you if you're down that way. So you can win a free school trip as well, actually, if you go to Clyde1.com for your kids' class to the Scottish Football Museum at Barclays Hampden. If your chance to win, like we said, head to Clyde1.com right now. Got a teaser for you.
Yes. Let's do it. Forgot about that.
The full time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion, or renovation.
I'm about to burst your bubble.
Oh no, don't. Hard. I see this one the other week about the goalkeepers, the solid one.
You're not going to like this one.
No, I loved last. What was last week's again?
No idea, but you're not going to
like the Liverpool one. The.
Oh yeah, the players that had played for you. Yeah, you're not going to like this one.
Oh no.
This is brutal. This really is. Ian in Inverness has sent it in. The only thing is, some of these might be your kind of era. That's all I'm clutching at here. The last eight players to score for Scotland against, no, it gets worse, believe me. Oh. Don't roll your eyes yet. Against a non-UEFA side.
What?
The last eight players to score for Scotland against a non-UEFA side. So clearly, we've not been at World Cups, so you're looking at friendlies, really. But
the only thing that strikes is that double header. Was it Mexico we played?
In Peru.
Is that on it?
No.
Probably didn't score in the game.
We scored.
Oh, you, so what's, his, goal scorer? What's his name that wrote the question?
Ian in Inverness.
Ian, thank you for ruining my full night.
Yeah, it's tough. Because if you can't remember these specific games, I just don't know how you're going to get
You're them. Just guessing the strikers, aren't you?
Pretty much.
Griffiths?
No.
Lyndon Dykes?
No.
McCoist?
Right, no. What I'll narrow it down slightly
we're
for you.
We're just going to grab the striker.
We're going further back than Lyndon Dykes, but very much more recent than McCoist. So all in.
Okay.
Why is Johnny Russell's name coming to my head?
Because he plays for in a non-UEFA nation.
Nice what?
So we're looking for a.
Will this be the first time you move on without a correct answer?
Be. It actually could be. I'm thinking, I'm looking at the dates. Couple in 2012, one 2014, 2015.
12 so Miller? Kenny Miller?
So maybe around the time where you're thinking, I want to be in that squad. There's that guy taking my place. And
Kenny Miller?
No.
Stephen Naismith?
Yes.
Come on.
This was actually quite towards the back end, though. It was I remember this, a 1-1 draw against Canada at Easter Road, 2017, that was. So there are a few before that. So that's the most recent one on the list.
Oh, there was a game.
I'll also give you that clue because you're struggling already.
Jordan Rhodes?
Yes.
Against Australia?
Yes.
At Easter Road, maybe?
Now look at you.
I remember that game, and it's weird now how that worked. The Canada game just brought something to my mind.
Australia.
Ha ha, Ian. Rhodes,
Easter Road. And who else in that game then?
Oh,
come
no.
on.
Right, I was showboating there. Apologies. No. I don't know the other.
Okay.
Armstrong?
No. We can get back to it. That's actually not bad. Two of.
Tony's done well there, son.
Eight, okay. Yeah, you've dug out that one. There's another one from that game. And like I say, some of them very much of your era. So doing not too badly. Let's hear a bit from the. Do we have Andy Robertson? Oh, I thought we did. I was just looking at my screen. Yeah, we do. Let's have Andy Robertson on the recent results that the Scotland team has got.
Well, if I'm not wrong, I think Japan have beat England 1-0 today as well. So let's be real. We got beat 1-0 off Japan yet. And, you know, it was a 0-0 game. We just probably made a mistake. And so they've went and beat England. So it shows that Japan are a good team. Ivory Coast won 4-0 on Saturday. And, you know, I think for large parts we were better teams, certainly second half. So we're playing against really good nations. We're playing against nations that are used to qualifying for World Cups, used to playing in massive games. So the gaffer does this deliberately. The gaffer, we could easily have took two easy games where you win 4-0. And, you know, but we want to test ourselves. We want to play against different teams. We want to challenge ourselves. And that's why we've took these games. And we've learnt a lot about ourselves this week. So I think we've took a lot of positives. You know, real tough work in the training ground. You know, two tough games and a lot of positives to take, stuff to work on, of course, but, you know, we've never said we're the finished article, and, you know, everything's just working towards the summer, and we'll be ready when it comes.
Is that where the subject of momentum is maybe a difficult one to pin down? We spoke, well, one of your answers to beat the pundit, we played Liechtenstein in a friendly last year, 1-4-0. Shea Adams scored a hat trick, nobody cared. It's just
that's good for records.
So if you take that friendly now and you win it, then people say, well, you know, the opposition was too easy. But if by momentum people mean winning games, you know, would that satisfy to take a slightly lesser opponent and win, or are you better doing what we did over the last two games?
The only games that they win that matter are the qualifying games that get them the World Cup. See these last two, like Andy Robertson says, and it's a great point, he could have easily took San Marino and Latvia, let's say, and went and won 20-0 in aggregate, but that's doing nothing for nobody other than putting it on top of their record, how many goals they've scored. The fact that they played against Japan, who are probably in the top 20, who are probably a quarter-final team in the World Cup, and then Ivory Coast, who are probably a team that, again, pose a different threat. I think it's not been a bad international week in terms of people always overreact, people always want to, like, we go back to the booing. It's just not necessary. The players have all get together for 10 days, Steve Clarke seen what he needs to see, and when it comes to the next camp before the World Cup, he'll have his starting 11 ready, I think.
Because, you know, this note, we clearly deliberately picked non-UEFA nations, hence why we've got the teaser tonight as well, because you just don't play them. That's the point. We just don't do it anymore. Don't have that experience. Like I said, that doesn't mean you kind of roll over and then accept that we're going to lose to Japan or we're going to lose to Ivory Coast. But if it was only about winning, then you could have picked a different
opposition. Yeah,
or even one of each. You know, you could have picked a so-called easy one
and then a more difficult one.
Listen,
for me, I think the fact that they've actually went against decent opposition, I think you want to challenge your players. There's no point in inviting players up and then you're giving them an easy ride and you're not really going to get a true reflection of what it would look like against a San Marino or something. So they're obviously up against Japan. I watched a bit of the tail end of that again last night. They were decent, you know, some really good players, and they have a real depth of squad as well. I think they changed a lot as well.
Serious question. This is not a kind of tongue-in-cheek trying to make a point. Did England fans boo when they lost to Japan?
I have to be honest with you, mate. Last seen the end of it, and there was practically no one in the stadium. The Subway Loyal were very much on their toes, so there was a discontent without doubt. And again, the expectations. I don't think they've lost to an Asian team, so there was a kind of, obviously that was a first for England. So that, you know, they've got their kind of challenges to seek as well. But for us, I think you touched on it. It was a challenge, it was a test, decent opposition, but you also get an opportunity to see two different shapes within.
What did you think of the stylistic challenges then and differences? Because you almost only needed to see the first 15 minutes of the game to see what the pitfalls are. Where Scotland are aggressive, start on the front foot, press up high, but that's probably why you concede. So then you can see where, for Steve Clarke and all this stuff about him, maybe the accusation will be that it's defensive or it's pragmatic. You can almost imagine then that, and you guys are doing this as a management team at the moment.
Absolutely.
Saying, Ricky, well, imagine we hadn't started that much in the front foot. It's 0-0.
No,
fans aren't happy with, you know, fans are happy to see the fast start on the front foot, but we've left ourselves exposed at the back. What did you make of the goal that was conceded?
Yeah, well, listen, you just showed you talk about a different opposition, the speed and the transition last night. And I think that's pretty norm for international football. I think they're very mobile and they got up and attack very quickly. And I think Steve Clarke would have been looking and going, because it kind of goes against what he kind of practices. But in the same token, it gives him an opportunity to see what it's like with that man-to-man, the press, and what it looks like at the other end. The problem you have at that level is that, see, when you're at that top level, they only need one chance, you know, and you know against lesser opposition, they wouldn't have probably had that challenge last night. So when you hit it at the top end, and when you're up against good opposition, was it Pepe, wasn't it, scored eventually? And, you know, he obviously went for a few quid back in the day, and it was interesting because he got left out of the squad the one of the recent kind of gatherings. And he refused to take the manager's phone call for apparently he just blanked the manager, said, "I'm not taking that, you've been in that squad." So by scoring that goal, then he's obviously said to the manager. But the challenges were interesting for both games. There were some technical players on there as well, plenty of pace. And they're going to come up against that in the summer.
Because is that Is that learning in a nutshell? Because if, let's say the Japan, everybody keeps saying the Japan, sorry, the Ivory Coast performance last night was the better of the two. But if the Japan performance had been replicated last night, might not have conceded. Yeah. Is that you know, as a player and as a manager, and when you're trying to come up with a style, is that a difficult balance to strike?
Yeah, I think Steve Clark probably wants to play more like a Japan game than the Ivory Coast game, because you do need to be pragmatic. You need to shut the back door, as they say, and not concede, especially at that level. Maybe get a set piece, which Scotland are good at. So it's a difficult one. He probably will be kicking himself, but again, like you say, they've shown that they can sit back. The goal against Japan, by the way, is a deflection. There's a wee bit of luck. 0-0 against Japan in a World Cup group stage game wouldn't have been a bad result. Obviously, it's a friendly, so people are, again, overreacting. But I think Steve Clark, he will probably be kicking himself at conceding a goal at that last night, because he is good at setting up teams not to get beaten.
What went wrong with it?
Just like you say, if you go man-to-man and you get in people's faces, there's got to be gaps somewhere.
Because from our, we were going to try, went straight at the other end, didn't it?
So that's slightly different, whereas you're trying to put a press on, mm-hmm, and they cave you open and then do it to the other end. That was throwing a few bodies at it. And again, on the back of the weekend, you would try and kind of promote players to try and get in the box, to try and create more of a threat at the top end. Because I think that was one of the major concerns at the weekend, is didn't they create too much? So all of a sudden, you're trying to kind of promote some players going forward. But again, you leave yourself open at the back, Gordon. And again, we talk about it quite a lot at our level as well, is about the rest defence and trying to stop that transition, whether that's a wee cynical foul or, you know, just, you know, try and kind of get close to someone before they can actually turn and get after you. So
I think all these thoughts will be going through Steve Clark's head as well, because the makeup of that midfield, some are clearly better on the ball than others, and some are clearly better off the ball than others, you know. Absolutely. And try to find that,
get the balance. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. But again, if you look at domestically, you know, you look at the sixes, you get your quarterbacks trying to, and that would, Gilmore would come under that, and then you're looking at McTominay, McGinn, Christie, Ferguson. So they'll be the guys that are trying to win a break and trying to kind of create an opportunity at the top end. So you're just trying to get that balance. And listen, as I said to you, I think he's got a lot of conundrums. I think he will know pretty much three quarters of his team, and I know it's miles, mm-hmm, away, and you don't know who's going to be fit, but I think he'll roughly have an outline. And if obviously Doak, because again, at the top end, you need someone to put a ball carrier.
And is that why he, because in a general sense, the notion that you're going to, you know, sculpt your formation for one player, who, by the way, he's still got a bit to go, you know, it's not like he's you know, legitimate world class level. But because the squad doesn't have anything like that, he becomes so important.
He's probably our most exciting player. And I had it wrote down about, remember when Northern Ireland qualified, Kyle Lafferty had scored X amount of goals. He was the attacking player that carried them. For years, Republic Ireland, Robbie Keane, mm, was carrying them. And Steve Clark's been very unlucky. Wales had Bale. Steve Clark's been very unlucky that his best players have probably, like you said at the start of the show, the big points are mostly defensive and midfield. Like McTominay has probably been our biggest attacking threat, or McGinn. Mm-hmm. That's a far cry for a right winger or a striker.
Have you even seen a debate recently about whether McTominay should play up front, and it allows you to get another midfielder?
This is a guy that played, it the first Euro right centre back? And by the way, I think he's got the profile. Obviously, you need to naturally be a striker and know the position. He's probably got the best attacking knack
two
in the
ball.
Was that talking about a two up front? Or not just him alone, as a lone nine, was it?
I think so.
In the two, right, I like Christie behind the striker, and I think McTominay could do that role as well.
Everybody says, "Oh, Christie plays deep for Bournemouth now. Steve Clark should do that."
But that's the problem. Steve Clark's best options, even at Man U, McTominay kind of sat in front of defence and broke things, mm-hmm, up sometimes. And Steve Clark's best options are in the negative part of the pitch, not the positive part of the pitch. So it all falls into place for the way he plays. And an attacking manager probably couldn't get much more out of the team, because, other than Ben Doak, who's really setting the header? I like.
How are you doing with this teaser? It's a tricky one. We're looking for the last eight players to score for Scotland against a non-UEFA side. Sadly, couldn't add anyone to the list over the last week. Stephen Naismith did it against Canada. Jordan Rhodes against Australia.
McCormack?
Yes.
Ooh.
Same game. Ross McCormack.
Ah, right.
So these were the two that were in that squad that you might think you should have been in. I don't even know, but... By the way, do you know what's even better for you? The question says the last eight players, there's only actually six. So you're laughing.
Well, we're halfway there.
That's a good mistake. It's worse when we get it the other way around. You only get six. Yeah, halfway there. Speaking of quizzing though, I'm a big fan. We're huge fans of the 5k minute in the Duncan household. Yesterday, don't know if you've been keeping an eye on it. Yesterday, Martin and Bishop Briggs came on. He got 9 out of 10, and the question he got wrong: what do cows drink? And he said milk. Oh, sorry, water. But you have to take the first answer.
Oh my god, that's what done him.
So he tricked one as well. That's sneaky, isn't it? That's bad.
Oh, man.
That is badness. Today, Martin was allowed to come back on. He got another 9 out of 10, but this was his final question.
Richard Ashcroft's Richard Ashcroft, which band?
The Verve.
What is it?
Fear.
Ryan, what?
Oh, Ryan, don't you start.
I know what now.
What did you say before the Verve there?
You never said anything.
I didn't say anything. I said the Verve.
I said the Verve.
I think he said Blur.
No, he didn't.
Oh, no.
Are you joking?
He said the Verve.
No.
I feel sick.
What? He won the money.
Yeah.
He won the money.
Did he say something before, though?
What do you think?
No, I thought he said the Verve.
I thought he said Blur.
Can we hear it again?
I thought he went for the answer. He wasn't confident. He went again.
Get the VAR review show on right now. Where's Willie Collin when you need him? Let's hear that again. Short.
Richard Ashcroft, which band?
The Verve.
The Verve.
No,
did he say before that?
Or did he go B? Oh, can we have one more?
No, can we have one more? No, see if you have to look at it again. It's not clear and obvious error.
Yeah.
He's won the money.
See, be fair to him. George was kind of stuttering there too, so he gave him a break.
Everybody's fighting for him. It's no cares. It's good to give
him
money.
So he's come on and get 19 out of 20.
Essentially, yeah.
And the worst one he missed was
exactly with the cow's drink. Anyway, another 5k minute tomorrow morning. Get your calls in. We'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here. They actually made a pretty good start with this question, considering how tough it is, but now they're toiling. Ian in Inverness said, can you name the last six players to score for Scotland against a non-UEFA team? Stephen Naismith against Canada, Jordan Rhodes against Australia, Ross McCormack in the same game. Three to get. I'll give you the games. I don't think it'll make any difference. No offence. We beat Qatar 1-0 in a friendly at Easter Road, June 2015. We drew 2-2 with Nigeria at Craven Cottage. So very much out of the same playbook as last night, an African team playing in England. One was an own goal, so we're looking for the other Scottish scorer. And a 1-0 win against South Africa at Pittodrie in August 2007. That's the one I definitely remember the least. I'm struggling to remember that one.
What about Gary Teal?
No.
What about Robert Snodgrass?
Nope. Met him at the weekend, actually, weirdly.
Snoddy.
That's my agent.
He's
my agent now.
There you go.
Played with him a couple of, well, was in squads with him and just needed some
trust. Just thinking of random celebrity spotting, right? How's this for one? I was quite chuffed with this today just for how bizarre it was. So I was in Belfast this morning. Some business to take care of.
Nice.
Sounds very official. Anyway.
Nice.
So I was walking along the street. You know, you get these gyms that are like on the high street.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like the treadmills face the window.
Aye.
And I always think, good on those
people. Have you seen a celebrity?
I think good on those people that go in there because everybody can see you running. So I'm walking along and the guy in the treadmill has got a Scotland top on, so clearly it draws me in. And I go through this process in my head of, oh, a Scotland top, maybe I'll know them. And you think, how are you going to know them? It's just a Scotland top. But it was Martin Compston. On the treadmill,
Belfast,
facing the window.
He would have been doing what's it called?
Line of Duty.
So there you go.
He's a proud Scot, and he like
proper
loves
take,
his football.
In the treadmill. Anyway, nice. You'll sleep well tonight hearing that. Really good story.
The wee man, he was in the wee man film.
Literally.
Yep.
But he did not crucially score for Scotland against a non-UEFA nation.
Who did?
You can get back to me. Tommy is in Kosyth. Let's end with a domestic football, a club call, if you like, Tommy, because I think that'll be the way we go for the next couple of days, so take it away.
Yeah, mate, it's towards Tony Watt, mate. So what do you make of Joe Lively's comment and saying that Craig Bellamy should be the next Celtic manager?
I think it'd be like anything, if one of the people I'd played with that was doing a good job somewhere were linked with it, I would say the same. I think people that have played with, like your Robbie Keane's, for instance, is it Ferencvaros now?
Yep.
Would be saying he'd be good for the job. I think I heard people saying that he was good for Tottenham as well.
I think this feels like more than just somebody bumming up their pal. No, in the sense that, like, do you think it's a realistic
one? No, that's my point. It would be Joe Ledley's a realistic guy, a good guy. He obviously had a great career, and Bellamy was a superstar in his own right for Wales. He had a great career in terms of Premier League as well, and by all accounts he's done his hard yards at Burnley under Vincent Kompany. He's went and took the Wales job and done really well. Obviously they never got over the line, but I think it's easy enough to then promote your friend to get the job, and it's the right thing to do because he'll know what he's about. He's in about Wales, he does the punditry for it, and I wouldn't be against that one. Same with the Robbie Keane one. Obviously he's got the links to the Israeli team that Celtic, obviously political, some fans won't want him, but I think people that wouldn't be bad. You look at Gerrard for Rangers, I think straight away the presence is there.
That was a good theme for you to introduce to the show with 3 minutes to go. Tony Watt's views on the geopolitical situation in the Middle East.
Just to be clear,
I'll give you his personal number and you can take it up with him.
Tony Watt doesn't have any political views.
Tommy, let me put it back to Tommy. Is it one that floats your boat, Tommy?
No, I think, all right, he did his day well, didn't he, Fleetwood? He's just been sacked by Early United. I think
that's the wrong guy.
Hold on. Seriously, Tommy?
Well, if they both back him.
No, but Tommy, listen, listen, Scott Brown is a brilliant Celtic captain, but there has to be a food chain in football where you can't lose your air job and then get the Celtic job in the back of it. It can't work that way, surely.
Well, you never know. Like what happened to the Celtic when they brought Wolf and Nancy in. He lost 7 games in the league, 21 points.
Oh, listen, I know that, but that feels like just a completely
separate
issue.
You'd be better keeping Martin O'Neill. You'd be, for somebody, Scott Brown's only hope of getting the Celtic job in the future is if he goes back to Celtic, does his hard yards like Neil Lennon done and goes that way. I think a Robbie Keane or Bellamy who have went out and done it, who have played at the club, would be more fitting. Obviously it would be a bit more expensive, but they've got a body of work which will bode well.
I mean, if you're looking for an ex-Celtic player who's doing good things in the Championship in the dugout,
before I promote him, there would need to be a few quid in it, a 3-year deal for me before I do that, because we don't want him to go anywhere.
Exactly, he's got a bigger fish to fry right at the moment anyway. Tommy took me on a journey there, because I feel like Craig Bellamy might be a name in the frame. I don't mean that Celtic are interested, I don't know, but it feels like that type of target.
Yeah,
Scott Brown, it just won't be. I know Tommy's got his own feelings on him, but
I think when you look at Bellamy's pathway, I actually quite like listening to him. When you listen to him speak, he's very forthright. The fact that he's worked with Kompany as well. I was part of the, we were down there at Reading when they were flying, actually, and
at Burnley.
Yeah, we drew 1-1 at their place, and we went and had a drink with him afterwards, and it was enlightening, because I'd previously came across Bellamy, as you can imagine, down there when he was a young buck, and you know, we didn't have a lot to say to each other, but just listening to him talking, you know, about the game and so forth, it was like, oh my god, because I came across him when he was a young teenager.
He was a top player, wasn't he?
And yeah, he was a good player, but he had a lot to say for himself at that particular time, and we were like senior players looking at this young boy. But when I was listening to him talk in the company of Kompany, then you know, you're thinking this guy's actually got a good understanding of the game.
It's an interesting name you raised, Tommy. We'll see if it transpires. Thank you to Tommy in Kilsyth. We've got 3 more in this teaser. Last 6 players to score for Scotland against a non-UEFA team: Naismith against Canada, Rhodes and McCormick against Australia.
We said the centre-half, didn't we?
Chris Boyd?
Yes, South Africa. Pittodrie, 2007. The Qatar game, 2015.
Was that a defender, midfielder?
Yeah, midfielder. Nice left foot. Newcastle, Portsmouth, Swindon.
Matt Ritchie.
And much more recognisable to us up here, the Nigeria draw, Craven Cottage, May 2014. Celtic, mostly.
Commons?
Aberdeen, Dundee United, Blackburn, Wigan.
Oh, so we...
No.
So big.
Dundee United. Yeah, I was going to say, your pal. Charlie Mulgrew. We'll leave it there. Thank you, Tony and Alex. Back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Find the perfect space for your business with DRK & Company Realty. Flexible office suites are available. Employees and clients benefit from free parking, front door access, and walkable dining, retail, and hotels at the Polaris Lifestyle Center. Managed by DRK & Company Realty, one of Central Ohio's most trusted leaders, this safe, well-maintained property offers dedicated on-site management and responsive maintenance. Grow your business at an address designed for success at 470 Old Worthington Road. Visit drk-realty.com to learn more.
The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is on at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,000 store-wide with our lifetime price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? Limited time clearance savings only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com.